I do ask that we engage with what the Spirit is saying to the church today. I'm asking you. Let's engage with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Because we talk about all the time, we're not here to, you know, play church, have church. We're here to be the church. And that means be led under the leadership of the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And I think he's going to impart some things to us today. So, Father, we thank you for that. And we are humbled before you, open ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and let's hold them up, or maybe your Bible app if you want to use your phone. But let's unite together around this and say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I am loved by the Father. I am saved by the Son. And I am taught by the Spirit. So we're going to continue our series, Pathways to Partnership. The Lord has given us five core tenets that he wants to govern our relationship. Everybody say our relationship. Our relationship together. The Lord wants us to honor one another in our journey together, in knowing Christ and pursuing him. We're to honor each other. We're to be humble towards each other. We're to trust Christ in each other. And then the unity of the Spirit and hearts for reconciliation when there's bumps in the road. But he wants these five core tenets to be flesh in us and in our relationships together as we advance his kingdom one heart at a time. So with that, let's talk about the core tenet of the unity of the Spirit. God for years has desired Grace Church to bring a message of healing and bridge building and the overall revelation of the kingdom of God. There's something bigger at hand than a local church. And it is the kingdom of God. And so he has charged us for years to bring this idea, his idea, the biblical idea and principle of the unity of the Spirit to the body of Christ. His prayer is simple. On earth as it is in heaven. How many of you think there's a lot of division in heaven? How many of you think there's a lot of denomination sections in heaven? No, it's togetherness. When I think of heaven, I think of togetherness. I think of unity. I think of one big happy family. Nobody's arguing over petty differences. There's a lot of gathering. You know, it's a gathering mindset in heaven. We're going to gather together around the throne of God. God's not in the scattering business. He's in the gathering business. And he's not in the exclusion business. He's actually in the inclusion business. And he's not in the dividing business. He's in the unifying business. Can I get a witness on who's behind the dividing business? The enemy. Who loves what's going on in our country right now? Because Beelzebub is the Lord of the flies, and he reproduces in death, decay, and division. One of the names for Satan is Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. So he loves to reproduce his nature in darkness and division, dissension, all those things. So I pray that you are praying for the nation, and I also pray that you are asking the Lord to use you to be a bridge builder. And to have intelligent, spirit-filled conversations with people. Even about politics. Amen. Instruct, teach, conversate with a spirit of meekness and gentleness, the Bible says. Well, amen. I'm just preaching the house quiet this morning. So we at Grace Church are those who understand our Father's desire for unity. We get it. We get this. It's part of us. His unity within Grace Church. Everybody say within the church. And then within the body of Christ. Say within the body of Christ. So we get it. We know we're not the only show in town. We are part of a greater whole. We understand this here. And for the older generations, which we've been praying for and receiving prayer from, here this morning, for those in the older generation, my goodness, we have seen the pain and suffering that division and strife brings. We've seen church splits. We've seen arguments and strife over nothingness that totally stole the vision and mission of a church because they couldn't get along. So we've seen those things. That is not God's desire. That is not God's will. That is not God's command. His command, His will, His desire is a Bible unity of the Spirit that translates to Bible evangelism, where people feel so safe in an environment of humility and the unity of the Spirit and outrageous love for God, not personal opinions. They feel so safe in that environment, they come to Jesus. And they're like, I want who those people have. And the unity of Spirit creates, Bible unity creates Bible evangelism. I'll prove it to you in the Scriptures. Jesus taught it. And then not only that, it creates a desire to know Jesus and walk with Him. Once they get saved, they actually want to walk with Him and be with His people so they can learn. Amen, somebody. There is no fear in love. And when we walk in the unity of the Spirit of God, we're going to have great manifestation of God's love when we're together. So when perfect love is manifesting here in the body, there's no fear. What's the opposite of fear then? Faith. So where there's no fear, there's an atmosphere of faith towards Jesus. Towards, I want to know Him. I want to be known by Him. I want to walk with Him. I love it. Perfect love not only casts out fear, but it nurtures faith in Jesus Christ. So a church body that's rich in love and rich in the unity of the Spirit not only casts out fear, but we actually have an environment that propagates faith in Jesus. Because here's another one I've heard over the years, that where in the absence of fear, there is unity. And Jesus taught that where there's unity and oneness, people get saved. Boy, isn't that good? Why have so many people come to church in America over the last couple of hundred years, and so many just left it? Why did that happen? Because they were getting yoked to something other than Him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We're here to bring you to a person. And His name is Jesus. Not to make you think like we do. If your doctrine is all jacked up and it doesn't match mine, Jesus will work that out of you. He'll work it out of you. Touch your neighbor and say, He'll work it out of you. So His desire, I want to say it again, is a Bible unity that translates to Bible evangelism, that translates to a biblical knowing and walking of, with Jesus as disciples of His. John 17, let's go there. John 17, verse 20, Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in Me through their word. How many of you know that's us? We believe on Him through the word of the disciples, that they all may be one. He's praying that we what? All be one as You, Father, are in Me and I'm in You. That is a stout oneness. We're to be one to the degree that the Father is one with Christ and Christ is one with Him. That they may be one in us. Oh, here it is. That the world may believe that You sent Me. There's a mystery to it. But in a church that loves each other, in a church that lives the unity of the Spirit together, people start figuring out God sent Jesus here just for them. It draws them. Verse 22, and the glory which You gave Me, I've given them. Why? Oh, that we can have a church membership role and turn it into our denomination and let them know how we're doing. No, the glory which You gave Me, I've given them that they may be one as we're one. So what's the glory of God? Well, it's the view and opinion of God, but it's not limited to that. It's his perspective. So He's given us His perspective of who He is and who we are together, but it's also the nature and character of God. He gave You His glory, His character, and His nature so we could walk in oneness. And yet, look at the modern church. We've got 40,000 denominations. And we're to be one. Verse 23, I and them, you and me, here we go, that they may be made perfect in oneness or unity, and that the world may know that you sent me. So that's the second time he said it. And that you love them just like you love me. My goodness, church. Our oneness fosters a relationship where people start getting the revelation, lost people, that God sent Jesus here to die for them and to reconcile them. And then, how about this, that God loves them just like he loves his own son, Jesus Christ. No wonder the devil wants us arguing all the time. No wonder he wants us divided. Because this is powerful. This is a powerful manifestation of what happens when we walk in oneness. The word, verse 23, that the world may know, the world may know, the lost may know. That word know is ginosko. That they have an experiential knowing, an intimate knowing that God sent Jesus here for them. Amen. We're to be bringing people to him. How do we do it? We love each other. We put down our petty differences and we humble ourselves before one another and we honor one another. And if we have hiccups, we reconcile immediately because there's something bigger at work than our priceless pride. There's something bigger. The kingdom of God is trying to break through, and it breaks through in our oneness, in our relationships together. And I'm going to say it again. The lost, the world come into an environment of the church, and it doesn't have to be here in this building. It'd be in your houses. Two or more. Amen. We keep getting this word that the new is the old. The new, what God's doing right now is the old. Well, that takes me back to the early church. Yeah, the temple, but house to house. Breaking bread, feeding on Christ, full of love, not selfishness. The church did not mature to the place of oneness. The church was birthed in oneness. The church was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit. The church was birthed in the love of God. They didn't mature to that. They began with it. And so if the word of the Lord right now in this season is the new is the old, then we need to return to those foundational truths that we see in the early church. And that means that we're going to, amen, go ahead and give God praise for that. That means we're going to walk together, not just in this building. We're going to walk together and invest in each other's lives in our houses. So we better get to cleaning. Because God's bringing people to your house, I'm telling you. Are your eyes open? Are you open? I mean, are you looking? Because there's people in the world who need to know that he loves them like he loves his own son, and that he sent his son here to die for them. Amen. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, get ready. Start cleaning. We got discovery groups. We've got discipleship groups. Do you know that we have groups of people meeting together and it's not sanctioned by the church? They're just getting together to pursue Jesus together. Right, Marlon? We got a group of guys Monday night. It's not sanctioned by the church. They just come to my house, or actually my mom's house, and we grow each other in Christ. We just go after Jesus together. Why? Because Sunday's not enough. We got to be feeding on him every day, and then we also need deep level community. You can share with 4 or 5 or 6 people and talk through some things and get some serious prayer and meditation in a smaller group than you can get here. Now, one of the benefits to only one service is that we can stay here all day. So if you need help, let's help people. Come on, amen. If you need help, let's stay till 2 o'clock. The church needs awakened. The church needs reviving. And if it means we stay till 2, by God, let's stay till 2. Where's your heart? Where's your allegiance? Our country needs to see Jesus. Our state needs to see Jesus in the church. And I don't mean in the building, but I do include the building. They do need to see him here. We need to operate in oneness here. Amen. And we live in a culture that's totally contrary to what I'm telling you. Everybody just be divided, be separate. Stacy was sharing with me last night. We've been listening to Ravi Zacharias some. And She was just reminding me last night what he was talking about, our cell phones. Like, people are so lonely. He did a youth conference. Young people are so lonely. Two major issues at the press conference. Pornography, number one, because they tarry in the altar. Ask the young people, if you need help, come. Pornography, number one. Why not? It's everywhere. It's on their phone. They can access anything. Anything. Number two, suicide. Because they feel so lonely. All they have is this. And so we've got to get back to heart-to-heart connection. Come to my house. Sit before my face. Let's be together in the Lord's presence. I'm telling you guys, everybody who's in this room, you know we're here on this planet for Him. You know it. And living in America, listen, you've got my sympathy because it's challenging to not get distracted in this country and start loving other things or being entertained or this, that, or the other. I am with you there, but I'm telling you, I just feel the heart of God in this, that He's calling us to Himself and He's calling us to face-to-face relationship and connection. Let the new father be the old. Let us return to those foundational principles of the early church who majored in oneness, who majored in unity. 40 days they spent preparing before the Holy Ghost was even poured out. 40 days they prepared. So it was birthed in oneness. It was birthed in love. It was birthed in humility. You cannot have unity with pride, and you can't have unity with fear. So we've got to recognize the beauty of this. God's already given us unity. I gave them your glory, the glory you gave me, so they would be one. So you have it. Everybody say, I have it. So our role then is to walk in it, to be obedient to Him in our unity. We've got the character of God, the nature of God. Not so we can be divisive, not so we can be slanderous, gossiping, backbiting each other and devouring each other, Galatians talks about. God forbid. God forbid. And God forbid the world who backbites us and tries to devour us sees us repay evil for evil. We have to be different than that. So do you see the benefit of us laying down pride and worldliness? And how about competition among believers? We got to lay that down. People getting introduced to Jesus because of our oneness in the Spirit. And that's why we're here. And that's why we're here. And He gives us this great principle that if you'll just walk together in unity, the oneness I've already given you, people are going to get saved and they're going to want to walk with Jesus. That's worth it to me. Psalm 133, Message Bible. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. Amen. It's like the anointing oil flowing down the head and the beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, down the collar of high priestly, his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing. Where? On unity. Where brothers and sisters dwell together. That word dwell has a marriage connotation to it. That we're married to one another in Christ. Amen. When you're married to one another in Christ, that doesn't mean you're not going to have disagreements. Stacy and I are still married after 28 years, and we don't agree on everything. Right? Everybody who's married is like, amen, yes, true. Why are we still together? Covenant. Same with the body of Christ. That we're called to walk this thing out together for better, for worse, rich, poor. It's a covenant. How powerful, how wonderful, beautiful when the brethren dwell together in unity. That's New King James. That's where God commands the blessing and ordains eternal life. And let the Bible interpret the Bible. John 17:3. What is eternal life? That they would, somebody said it, know God. The one and only true God, and that they would know Jesus whom He has sent. I'm going to say it again. When we walk in biblical unity, people get saved. And people have a heart to walk with Jesus. And to my core of my being, that's why we're here. Boy, I'm tingly all over. And what I take that to be, if you think that's weird, 1 John 5, we have an inner witness.
That's right.
So when the Holy Spirit in you or me hears truth, Holy Ghost electrons go off. That's the best way I can describe it. So the blessing of the Lord, which is eternal life, is commanded upon our unity. How about this one? The third benefit of unity. This is Genesis 11:6 in the Amplified Bible. For your notes, it's called the principle of possibility. When we walk together in unity, nothing's impossible. Look at this. Genesis 11:6. And the Lord said to Grace Church, behold, they are one people and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they've imagined they can do will be impossible for them. What a great prophetic word for us. I know he's talking about the Tower of Babel, but if the principle is true among an unrighteous people with an ungodly purpose, what can a righteous people with a godly purpose do? I'll tell you what we can do. Nothing would be impossible for us. The gates of hell could not prevail against it, because this is how Christ builds his church, is the unity of the Spirit. I love that. It's one of the ways. But this is, I just grab this for us, church. Father, we are one people in the name of Jesus. We have one language in this house in the name of Jesus. And nothing we have imagined will be impossible for us to do because of our unity. And isn't it fitting, you know, Annie's vision about the and prophetic word about the older generation, the Abraham generation, the Isaac generation, Jacob generation. We're going to all work together. I'm tired of older people thinking, well, young people just don't want to hear anything from us. And I'm tired of hearing younger people say, well, the older people don't talk to me. Put all that down and just be Jesus to each other. If he says speak to him, speak to him. Amen. If he says listen to him, listen to him. Just obey him. One person cannot live the unity of the Spirit command. It takes all of us to have the unity of the Spirit. So we all need to be having Jesus be Lord, and we're hearing him and we're obeying him. That's how we have the unity of the Spirit. Everybody say, God bless Pastor Steve. Bless his heart. Okay. So yesterday at Prayer Shield, we're just praying. The gates of hell, Robert, are not prevailing against us. And we're praying into unity. Christy Whitlock, oh, right here. She's been in Ephesians 4 all week long, which is verse 3 is the unity of the Spirit. I'm not to that yet, but she's been in it all week long. Why? It's the same Spirit. He's speaking to us. This is the word of the Lord to us. And in the midst of all this churning over, poor Pastor Steve says, you know, I've got in my notes for Sunday to pray and release all the creative people to build pathways towards the unity of the Spirit. And then Annie's husband, I asked him, I said, how do we do this? Because I know this is the word of the Lord. Annie's husband said, well, I don't think we do. He said, I think what we do is we all move towards Christ and his lordship in our personal lives, quit picking out everybody else's flaws, stop worrying about everybody else, and get ourselves lorded. And then where's Juanita? Juanita told me this a year ago. As we move towards Christ in fullness and lordship, we actually move towards each other.
Yes, so true.
So there is no church program coming. We can't do this for you. We can't make this happen. That's what poor Pastor Steve was about, because I want to come up with a plan. I want a plan on how we're all going to love each other. Guess what the plan is? Jesus. Give your heart to him. Abide in him. Sit with him. Be lorded by him and be full of him. That's the plan. Sound like a good plan? But guess what? Now you've got to take personal responsibility for where you are as a born-again Christian. Amen. So sober up. Hear what I'm saying. The plan is you start taking personal responsibility for the lordship of Jesus Christ in your heart. Now listen to me. It's not just about you, though. You're not going to do it for you. You're going to do it because now you see that you're part of a greater whole, and him being Lord of your heart in fullness,
yes,
adds to the measure of an entire church body who's fully lorded by Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not just about you. Make him Lord, abide in him, sit with him, eat the word, get in the scripture, be in love with him, in his fullness all day, every day, immersed in his love. But don't just do it for you. Do it because you're part of a church family that has heard the word of the Lord and says, you know what? All of us are going to do this. All of us are all in. It's not just about me. Because it takes more than one person to see the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Wow. So the principle of possibility is at work. We're all one. We have the same language. This is why the enemy wants us fussing and fighting. So here's what we've got so far. If you're taking notes or you want to take a picture. Benefits of our unity of the Spirit as a church family. Number one, people start getting saved and getting to know Jesus. And last time I checked, that's why we're here. Number two, God's life and blessing is commanded there. Eternal life, knowing God, knowing Jesus, happens in the midst of Bible unity. Number three, anything is possible. We paid off our building, what, a month ago or something like that? There's nothing impossible. I mean, we're sitting with the Lord right now on, Lord, how can we give our building to our community? How can we communicate to them that what's ours is theirs? Where we can reach people and touch hearts. And you see what I'm saying? I mean, if we use it on Sunday, and I know we use it throughout the week here and there, well, what about the idea that the building is really the Lord's? And if we can connect people to Jesus by opening it up somehow, I don't know. I just think anything's possible. Do what? It does have a big kitchen. Chester, I know you can grill. I don't know if you can cook, but he can grill something. Have some kids over after school. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. The evangelists are speaking. And the shepherds are like, oh my gosh, slow down. Because, why? Because you don't want to just get them saved. We got to walk with them. This is where the church has missed it. Walk with them on a daily basis. I have not derived so much joy as I have lately at being able to teach new believers. You guys remember some of the people getting baptized recently, right? So I'm just walking with them intentionally and being able to introduce them to the voice of the Lord by eating the scripture. By taking one or two verses, not, hey, go read the Gospel of John and come back, let's talk about it. They're babes. You just choked them. So sit with them in a scripture. Ask them, what do you see in it? And then begin to digest it. What joy, because what I see happening in them is it's acclimating them to the voice of the Lord through the integrity of the scripture. I know we're spirit people. But it's hard to take a newborn babe and just say, let's start practicing the prophetic. What do you say? How about those gifts of the Spirit? What do you say? How about they get to know Jesus? How about they start bearing the fruit of his character so that they can one day walk in the power and demonstration of the gifts and then have the humility to handle it when blind eyes are opened and people are getting saved? Well, it's powerful. So powerful. So it's been my great joy just to watch them be able to hear him speak by digesting scripture. Sitting with him, saying, Lord, what are you saying? I know what this says, but Lord, what are you saying personally to me? And then let it be written out in a little letter. Dear Bill, I love you so much. Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. Love Jesus. All that's doing is fostering relationship. Right. And that is what knowing God and knowing Jesus is. It is a personal relationship. So why was I saying that? Because the evangelists are all getting excited. What can we do? And then the shepherds are like, don't forget. Don't leave the baby at the hospital. We need to walk with them. And can we be honest? This will cost you some of your own time. Yeah. But it's well worth it because we're here so people can know Jesus and walk with him. We're not just here for the wedding. We're here for the marriage. He cares about the marriage. So anything is possible, and then, yeah, lose your life. And then number four, the precursor to kingdom breakthrough and manifestation. Woo! Hold on, everybody. Hold on, hold on. Matthew 12:25. Jesus said, any kingdom, everybody say any. Any kingdom, city, any house, including this one, divided against itself, cannot stand. And then in verse 28, remember they had accused him that he was casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. And he said, how can Satan cast out Satan? So verse 28, he says, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come. It's manifested right in front of you. When you see the devil, take a beating, right? But if you look at what he's teaching here, who's he revealing that division actually comes from? Satan and his demons. So, verse 28, could he not have said, when I drive out division by the Spirit of God, the unity of the Spirit, the kingdom of God has come to your town. And we've seen it. We've read about churches and towns working together, right, to eradicate drugs. I don't remember the town in Kentucky, but it was awesome. Baptists and Pentecostals were walking down the street of their town together, inviting Jesus to be Lord and evict the drug problem they had. And Jesus came and he breathed on that, what? Unity of the Spirit. If I drive out division by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God will come. So kingdom breakthrough and manifestation is tied to our unity in God's Spirit. Boy, I love that. Always been a precursor to kingdom breakthrough. How about Acts chapter 2? And they were all in one accord. And that's not a car. Agreed? They're all in one accord. And then what happened? The Holy Spirit came. And he breathed upon their oneness. So we see this principle here. And when I was at... Yesterday when I was at Prayer Shield, I was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, so if we walk in unity as a church and as a church body, you say that the kingdom of God will come, will manifest. What does that look like? And then he took me to Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11, if you want to go there. Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. Are you ready? I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, now strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. So the word for Satan many times in the New Testament is diabolos. And it means one who brings separation through accusation. My goodness. Have we seen any of his activity in the church the last 100 years? The one who brings separation and division through accusation. When he's cast out, look what comes. Salvation comes. Now I looked up that word on my Bible Hub app so I can get the Strong's definition. Because it's not always one word for one word in translation. That's why you need to eat the word and study it out. Bible Hub app. It's a good one. Salvation of God means deliverance unto prosperity and safety. That's what comes. And then the power of God comes. When the enemy and his divisiveness and accusation is evicted, the power of God, the word is dunamis. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom is not in word, it's in power, it's in dunamis. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So we see the manifestation now of the Spirit of God, which connotes lordship. And that brings us to the next one, the kingdom of God, basileia in the Greek, the rule of Christ in believers' hearts. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is lording, there's liberty. Can I get a witness that when you're allowing the Lord to lord your heart and your mind and your mouth and all that, there's liberty there, not bondage. When you're in traffic and you invite the Lord, right? Because that's what abiding is. I'm including him in everything, even when I'm stuck in traffic. And he's lording your responses. Because remember, patience isn't that you made it through traffic. Patience is your attitude while you were waiting. Yes. And it's a fruit of the Spirit, of living connected to Him. It's freedom. And then the last one, the authority of Christ has come. I looked up that word. It means moral authority and influence. Listen to this. Spiritual power with earthly effect. Spiritual power in the saints with earthly effect. It is an authority that's delegated to the saints from God. And then verse 11, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, were their testimony. The word overcame is conquer, subdue, be victorious, to leave the battlefield victorious, is what it means. Amen, amen, amen. So when we walk in our oneness, we see people getting saved and a desire to know Jesus. God's life and blessing is commanded there. Anything is possible. And then the kingdom starts manifesting. And when you start seeing the devil take a beating, you know that the kingdom of God is in your midst. And guys, that's what we're here for. We're not called to the unity of what we believe. We're not called to the unity of a haircut. We're not called to unity of clothing or gifting or a certain version of the Bible. We're called to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we need unity through diversity. Our unity is in our diversity. The joining of our differences bears fruit. Male and female, husband and wife. Not sameness. The joining of our differences is what bears fruit. Things get birthed. Things get multiplied. Things get produced when there's unity in our diversity. We have different giftings. Amen? We talked about the evangelist and the shepherd. Different calling, different grace. But when they're merged, everybody say merged. When they're merged, there's an explosion of multiplication and fruit. And that's where we are. Right there. That's where Grace Church is. You know, there's a lot I could say. In the way of the church and how it functions and all that stuff. But the bottom line is, guys, we have to take personal responsibility for where we're at with the Lord, His lording of our own life. As we move deeply and deeper into Him, we move towards each other. Ephesians 4:1, Gavin, you guys can come. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You were called. If you were called, you are called. Fair enough? With all lowliness, that's humility, and gentleness, with patience, bear with one another in love. And here it is, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to what? Keep the unity of the Spirit. So do you have it? You have it. You have unity with one another in the Spirit. The glory of God was given to you just as it was given to Christ so that you could be one as they're one. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There it is again. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in y'all. Paul was from Oklahoma. But look at this. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Guys, our unity comes through our diversity. We are born of the same Spirit. We've got the same glory that the Lord, Father God, gave his Son, Jesus Christ, so we can walk this out in oneness. Will you stand with me? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Can we just pray together? Can we just pray this morning? Let the Holy Spirit seed and saturate, water this word in our heart. Will you allow Him to speak to you about what you need to do in order to be a part of a church that comes under His lordship and His fullness, not just one or two of us, but all of us. And then if you need to make amends, if you need to reconcile, with someone, if you have aught in your heart, let's let that go. Let's let that go. So let's just take a couple of minutes as Gavin and the team play and maybe sing over us, worship over us. Let's take a couple of minutes to search our own heart and just be able to walk out our obedience. Father, we come to you this morning. Open our hearts to you. Father, we know this is your word to us. To walk out the unity of your spirit.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.